Namo Gora Kishaya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Vasambodhe Padambhu Jayate Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is renunciation personified. He is always merged in a feeling of separation and intense love of Krishna. So, just as Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj is feeling that separation, vipralamba, so this is a day when we are also meant to feel his separation. That if he were here with us now, it would be a great cause of jubilation. But that he is not physically manifest, it is a great cause of lamentation. Narottam is writing. He actually was missing one great Vaishnava's association after another. He would come to associate with one Vaishnava, and then he would hear that the Vaishnava had just left the world, and he would go somewhere else to meet someone else. They had just left. All the great associates of Lord Chaitanya were gradually leaving, and Narottam was missing them one after another after another. So the intense anguish of separation of Narottam Das Thakur is very nicely expressed in this song. Je anilo prema dana karana pracho. So we are in this line. He is one of the acharyas in our line of the siddhic succession. We're in this siddhic line from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we have the Goswamis, and then we have Krishnadas Kaviraj, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In this way, coming down to Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And the present Acharya is also now after Prabhupada. So in this way, we are coming in this line. Interesting to note, actually, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj is not initiated disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was Siksha disciple. He actually got his Diksha, he got Babaji Diksha from Bhagavad Das Babaji. But he got Siksha, he was very much the disciple of the Siksha disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So much so that is, the siddhic line is listed like that. Bhaktivinoda, Gorkishore, Bhakti Siddhanta. In his household life, he was born sometime around in the 1830s, he was born. That's now Bangladesh. As a householder, he was a broker in the grain business. For more than 20 years, he was householder. Then his wife died. So when his wife died, he went to Vrindavan, became renunciate in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he stayed 30 years in Vrindavan. And then in 1897, Prabhupada appeared in 1896. So when Prabhupada was 1 year old, Gorkishore Das Babaji came to Navadvip, and he stayed there the rest of his life until 1915. Even though he was a businessman, he was illiterate. Could not even sign his own name. That's how illiterate he was. But yet, when he would preach, he would quote all Vedic references. He could not read the scripture, but yet he was quoting Vedic reference. And Prabhupada explains in this connection, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yata Deve Tata Guru Tasyaite Katitha Yarata Prakashante Mahatmana. This is a very nice verse from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. That one who has complete unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, to that person all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed. So he was a very learned scholar actually, by dint of bhakti. He was illiterate, but yet he was a learned scholar. So realization doesn't come academically. Mobile phones turned off, please. This is a mobile free zone. When you come through the door, turn off your mobile phone. Can you imagine if Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna says, "Excuse me, I have a call from Yudhisthira." No. This is not Vedic culture. You come to the temple, turn off your mobile phone, or if it's an emergency, you put it on vibrate mode. So you can run out, but nobody else will have to be disturbed. So, in this way, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was on the highest level of realization, intense love of Krishna. He was not in the mood of preaching. His particular service that Krishna gave him was to be a bhajananandi. He was not at all in the preaching mood. Simply Krishna consciousness. Of course he preached. Not so much preaching. Mostly just his... He wanted to be undisturbed in his chanting. Of course, in America, we don't have such experience, but here in India, the public lavatory on the street side where they pass urine, the stench of urine is horrible. You're walking down the street, you come by one, you just go, oh. You may be used to it, but I'm not. So I just feel like vomiting practically when I come by the public lavatory on the street, everybody's passing urine. It's horrible stench, horrible. Like, my God, how these people can stand this. That's where he would chant his japa. Gaurakishore would go to the public lavatory. There's a horrible stench there. Because these sadhus, another mobile phone, everyone turn off, whoever has a mobile phone, turn them all off. Everybody, turn off your mobile phone. Everybody turn off your mobile phone. So, in this way, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he would chant without being disturbed. Now, in Indian culture, in this age of Kali, many people are very interested in sadhus for mundane blessings. They want darshan and they want ashirvad, blessing. For some, oh, I have $1,000, 1,000 rupees in the bank, now Guru Maharaj, you bless me that I can have 10,000 rupees in the bank, you see, in this way. They want this kind of blessing. So, and we saw all this with Prabhupada also. He was one time on the train in South India, he was in the first class compartment with some sannyasis, disciples. You've heard the story. Yeah. So, the sannyasis, there were many people on the train who knew there was a great sadhu on the train. So they all wanted to come in for ashirvad, blessing. That, you know, I want this, I want that, give me this, give me that, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, whatever, etc. So, whenever anyone would go in and out the door, they would shut it real fast, so none of the people could come in to get their darshan and blessing. But finally, one man got Prabhupada's attention. Prabhupada said, let him come in. And he was saying, he finally asked, Swamiji, I have a problem with my knee. He was asking for a blessing for his knee to be healed. And Prabhupada said, I give you the blessing that you can be like these boys. And they're all shaved up, you know, saffron. So he got real scared. He was in this room. The door was shut with all these people in saffron. And now he's being given the blessing that he'd become a saffron sadhu. He got very scared. He got out of there very fast. He might become renounced. Give up his household. Just become a sannyasi. He got very scared. Immediately got out of there. Everybody laughed. So, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he did not want to be bothered by such cheap, you know, spirituality, people coming to a sadhu for cheap blessings. So he would chant his japa by the place of the laboratory, public laboratory, municipal laboratory. Of course, he had only one disciple, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what a great disciple, of course, Raya Vishnu. What a great disciple he had, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a pure devotee. He came into this world as a pure devotee. He says, Arshila Prabhupada was a pure devotee. Prabhupada showed some pastime, however, of not wanting to come here, Bhakti Siddhanta. That, oh, there are so many sadhus. But his friend Narendranath Malak is bringing, no, Abhai Babu, you must come. You must come to meet these sadhus. So there was some pastime of, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. So there was also a pastime of Bhakti Siddhanta and Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Prabhupada explains it this way. That Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was thinking, well, you know, because his father told him you should go for initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And he's thinking, well, he's illiterate, and I'm a learned scholar, and in this way he was thinking a little proudly that he must be very happy to get me as a disciple because I'm very learned. So even this way is a pastime. Of course, not really, he was proud, but Bhakti Siddhanta said, I was a little proud, so I was three times refused by Guru Maharaj. So there's a pastime of the apparent pride of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that I'm a great scholar and he's illiterate, so he will be very happy to have me as a disciple. And he got, in that mood, he got refused, no, three times, until he finally was humbled. Yes, no. I just had to humbly beg, and he was granted the boon. So, there's another funny, there's a humorous pastime that one householder, Maharaj Mahendra Nandi, yes. One householder, Maharaj Mahendra Nandi, he was holding some kirtan festival in his home. He was inviting Gaurakishore, you come and stay at my home. So Gaurakishore said that, well, you know, you want me to come and be a tenant so you can order me around? You just want me to come and, you know, be your tenant and then you can give order, do this, do that. He said, no. He said, no. He said, I will be under your orders. You come to my festival, stay at my home. I will put myself under your orders. He said, oh, you want to be under my orders? Yes, yes. All right, then you sit down here, you give up your opulence, you wear this simple cloth and chant Hare Krishna. And his Maharaj Mahendra Nandi went running. Just like the people in the car with Prabhupada, when he said, I bless you, become like these boys. They got out there very fast. So Because Maharaj Mahendra Nandi became very scared that this sadhu has great potency and they give up my household and sit here and become a Babaji and just chant Hare Krishna. He got very scared and ran away. So it is a great blessing that we all have to be in this line of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. This mood of being separated is very important mood. This is the mood of the Goswamis also. When they were in Vrindavan, they weren't saying, oh, I saw Krishna. That was not their mood. Their mood was, hey Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chatalite Nanda Sunukutaha Shri Govardhana Kalapa Padapatale Kalindi Vane Kutaha. Their mood was, where is Krishna? Hey Radhe, where are you, Radharani? Hey Radhe Brajadevi, the Queen of Vrindavan, where are you? Hey Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite, where are you, Lalita? Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, where are you, the son of Maharaj Nanda? Where are you? Where are you? Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Tale, are you on the Govardhan Hill just now? Kalindi Vane Kutaha, or are you on the bank of the river Jamuna? So, in this way, they are, the Goswamis are always feeling intense separation from Krishna. This is in our line. This Vipralamba, this mood of Vipralamba, is exemplified by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed this in Jagannath Puri. This mood of separation from Krishna is the highest ecstasy of love of God. Actually, even in this material world, it is a practical example. Boy meets girl, they fall in love. They feel intense love for one another when they are meeting one another. But when they are separated, then the intensity of love becomes magnified many, many times. The proof is when they are together and they are speaking words of love to each other. The words are very nice, but when they write love letters being separated from a distance, then it is even more intense. More and more it is intensified many times. The wordings of love expressed in separation. This is a mundane practical example for the material world. The feeling, the intensity of the loving expression in separation is much, much stronger than in meeting. So, the Vaishnavas in this line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, they very much relish these feelings of separation because this intensifies the love, the feeling of love in the heart. The anguish of separation, the pining in separation intensifies the love. So this is very much a nice sentiment to feel separation. And these days, the disappearance days, are very nice for that. And these are days we are specially meant to cultivate this feeling of separation. The trouble is we feel just the other way. We feel separated from sense enjoyment. That's the problem. Well, you know, we see some object on the street, we wish I had that, and we feel separation from it. Well, I wish I could have that kind of car or that kind of motorcycle. Wish I could have that kind of house. You see. We're lamenting. We're feeling separation from the sense enjoyment. I wish I could have we get older, we look at some young person, I wish I could have a young, healthy body like that. We see some famous person on the billboard, well, I wish I could be famous. We feel separation. Or we're at our office, we look at the manager and we think how much money he's making. Wish I could have a position like that. So that's the problem with feeling separated from sense enjoyment. So we have to learn how to feel separated from Krishna and from the great Vaishnavas. And we can also feel separated from pure devotional service, which is a fact. Are we not currently in our conditioned state of consciousness? Are we not now currently separated from pure devotional service? That is another feeling of separation. Kabe habe bolo se dinam aparadha guchi shudha name ruchi kripa bole habe hrido ye sanchar kabe habe bolo se dinam. Bhaktivinoda is singing. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh, when will that day be mine? He's hankering. He's feeling separated from pure devotion. He's thinking, now I am Namaparadhi. I am not purely chanting Krishna's name. And it is causing me great distress and suffering that I cannot purely chant the name. You see. So in a state of anguish, he is languishing in this aparad mentality, pining for that day when he can purely chant the name. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is singing. Sankabe habe bolo se dinam. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So that is another type of separation. Of course, if you're already a pure devotee, then you're not separated from it. Do we have any pure devotees in the room? And if you're a pure devotee, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand? That means we're all separated from pure devotional service. So that is another feeling of separation that we can be cultivating. Another anguish. That when will that day come when I can purely chant Krishna's name? When will I give up my attachment for sense enjoyment and purely chant the name of Krishna? Narottama has also written, Vishaya chadiya kabe shudahabe mahana kabe hamahirabo Shri Vrindavana. When will I become free from all desires for material sense enjoyments? When will I have shudha manna, a pure mind? Then I can see Vrindavan. Then I can enter into Vrindavan. I was just in Vrindavan for 2 weeks. And you can be in Vrindavan and not be in Vrindavan. If you're thinking of sense enjoyment, you're in Vrindavan, you're not in Vrindavan. What will I eat today? You can be in Vrindavan and not be in Vrindavan. Or you cannot be in Vrindavan and be in Vrindavan. If you are in the mood of pure Krishna consciousness. So Narottama is saying, Kabe, that means when. Vishayi chadiya kabe shudaham. Kabe hame haraba shri Vrindavan. When will that day come when I can actually live in Vrindavan every minute, free from this desire for sense enjoyment? So this separation is very, very important, Vipalam. We can feel separated from Vrindavan. And that wall that's blocking us is the desire for material sense gratification. So, by meditating on the wonderful qualities of Guru Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we can become free from that desire for material sense gratification. Try to follow in his footsteps. We have to train our minds. This is the yoga system named discipline. Disciple, Prabhupada personally wrote me, disciple means discipline. You see. The question is, do you want pure Krishna bhakti? That's the question. How many people in this room would like to achieve pure Krishna bhakti? Let's see, raise your hand. Pure Krishna bhakti. Is it? Those who didn't raise their hand, you don't speak English? I saw two people didn't raise their hand. But most of you, 98% of you want pure Krishna. Maybe the ones who didn't raise their hand don't understand English. Maybe, but anyway, at least 98% here want pure Krishna bhakti, at least. Maybe everyone, 98% at least. I saw 98% of the hands going up. So the question is, how will we achieve pure Krishna bhakti? If you want to go somewhere, you have to know the directions, isn't it? Just like on Monday, I'm going to the airport. The driver has to know the way to the airport, otherwise we will not get to the airport. So if we want to achieve pure Krishna bhakti, we have to know what are the directions. How will I do that? Having the desire to go, that's very good. Now you have to find out, how do you do it? What are the directions? How does one achieve pure Krishna bhakti? So first, the desire for pure Krishna bhakti, the directions of how to achieve it, and then follow the directions. Three steps. The desire, the directions, and the implementation. You see. All three are important. If you don't have the desire, then forget it. You have the desire, then alright, then find out what is the means of fulfilling that desire. Then three, implement those means. These are the three steps. So then, since 98% have the desire, and what is the means of achieving it? I'm getting back to the point I made a few moments ago. Prabhupada told me, disciple means discipline. Of all of you who said you want to be pure devotees, how many of you are willing to discipline yourself? Not quite as many hands, almost as many. Maybe we're down to about 85% are willing to discipline themselves. So that means there's 13% in there who want it and are not willing to pay the price to get it. So for those 13% who didn't raise their hand the second time, I ask you to consider very carefully that without discipline, if you don't discipline your senses, there's no way you're ever going to do it. It's called sadhana bhakti. You have to perform sadhana bhakti. So, that process is given in the nectar of devotion by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. If we follow the instructions of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada very carefully, we discipline ourselves, then, and if we stick to it, then by the mercy of Guru, or the mercy of Krishna, it will come. Naturally it will come in due course of time. Pure Krishna bhakti. We chant 16 rounds, avoiding the 10 offenses, that's very important. Why was it when there would be an initiation lecture, Prabhupada would always have the 10 offenses also described? Why did Prabhupada do that? Because chanting alone is not sufficient. Chanting and following the four rules is not sufficient to achieve perfection. You have to avoid the 10 offenses also in chanting. So is pure chanting, it's chanting 16 pure rounds and following the four regular principles for going back to Godhead. As long as you're chanting a defense, then you have to keep taking birth again. So we have to know what are the 10 offenses. That's why we recite them every morning in the temples all over the world. And we have to avoid those offenses. We have to offer all respect to the Vaishnavas, because if you disrespect the Vaishnavas, if you're critical of them, you don't have proper respect for the devotees. That is Vaishnava Parada, and it is Vaishnava Parada at the same time. The double offense. It's Vaishnava Parada and Nama Parada simultaneously. Called Hati Mata, the mad elephant offense. We have to have all respect for the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are actually worshipable. Sadhu-sangha-sarva-shastare-kai-sadhu-sangha-lava-matra-sarva-siddhi-hai. By the association of the sadhus, all the scriptures say, even for one lava-matra, which is 1/11th of a second, even for 1/11th of a second, if you properly associate with a sadhu, what is the result? Sarva-siddhi-hai. All siddhis you will achieve. All cities. So just see how important it is to respect the devotees. The most important thing is to always be in that mood of worship, awe and veneration for all of the Vaishnavas. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods. We can't think that Krishna is one of the gods. It's a big mistake people make. Well, Shiva and Krishna, same thing. You worship either one, you get the same result. It's a common thing. In India, it's a very common mistake people make. Even the Shiva Purana, Shiva says Vishnu worship is supreme, but they don't want to hear what Shiva says. Shiva himself in the Shiva Purana says that Shiva worship is not on the level of Vishnu worship. Shiva himself says, Shiva says, Krishna says, Brahma says, everyone says. But then because, you know, Vivekananda and Ramakrishna said something different, we'll follow them. And they put, you know, Vivekananda's picture everywhere on the streets. Our national guru, you know. We have to be loyal to our national guru because he went to Chicago. And everyone thought he was great, so we have to worship him, because in America they liked him, so we have to like him here too. He's our national hero, because he took Indian culture to America. He didn't take the real culture, he took some rascal Mayavad misinterpretation. So in this way we have to follow these offenses. Follow the path of avoiding these offenses. And then we will be the true followers of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was very, very strict in his regulated principles. We can't let mundane sentiment interfere with our devotional service. Sometimes our family members don't want us to practice Krishna consciousness. Well, guess what? Relatives are relatives. They're not absolute. You've had millions of relatives in millions of lifetimes. I mean, mean, Osama bin Laden was your brother, probably, in one lifetime. So you have to please him. You need to get his permission to chant Hare Krishna. Because he was your brother, you know, a few lifetimes ago, or whatever. No. Actually, we're all family members. We're all the Krishna Gotra, the dynasty of Lord Sri Krishna. So no, if our relatives are not interested in Krishna consciousness, that's their problem. I'm not going to let them hold us back from going back to Godhead. For millions of lifetimes, we've tried to please our relatives, and where did it get us? We're still stuck in the cycle of birth and death. Still stuck here. Suffering like anything in Bangalore. Bungalore. We bungled it once again. We took birth again. The Bangalore bungle. So, now we have to follow the wonderful footsteps of Gorkhasurdas Babaji Maharaj, His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Nandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the wonderful footsteps of the ISKCON devotees who are leading the world out of chaos. So are there any questions? Let me put my hearing aids in. Maybe I can hear better. So what was the question?
Now you restrain the two offenses, first two offenses. Please continue restraining all the offenses. Yes,
sir. What's he saying?
You have said about two offenses. Could you explain all the offenses?
Oh, yeah, the time is running, sure. The other offenses are there as well. The third offense is disobey the order of the spiritual master. Some people think, well, I don't really need a guru, I'll just do it on my own, but then you're committing the third offense. Because how can you disobey the guru's order if you don't have one? So to chant purely, you have to have a guru. They have to be initiated, actually. So everyone should be getting ready for initiation. Everyone should be initiated or getting ready for initiation. Because the third offense is disobey the spiritual master. That means you have a guru. That's part of the process of chanting Hare Krishna. You have a guru. The spiritual master is the revealer of the name. It's by the mercy of the guru that you can chant the pure name, Shudanam. Without guru, you cannot chant Shudanam. So you have to purely chant Hare Krishna, you have to be initiated. That's part of the process. So everybody should do that. So the list goes on in this way. Any other questions? Yes.
You explained about a mundane example about how a boy and girl.
Yeah.
When they separated,
love. That's right. Yeah.
So how technically we can experience Vipra when there is no meeting and union? Then
there
can be separation.
Well, it's quite easy. Yes. He's asked a very interesting question. It's actually a very good question. In the mundane example we gave, the boy and the girl met and now they're separated, so because they met and now they're separated, it's very intense. So how do you feel separation when you have no conscious remembrance of meeting? Of course, we did have that meeting with Krishna originally. Actually, the meeting is there, but it's very deep, deep, deep down in the soul, you know, under the coverings of the millions of layers of lust, anger, and greed. We are all associates of Krishna from the spiritual world. So we have that within us. So you can actually feel Vipralama because you did have your meeting with Krishna. You did. You've forgotten it, but you did have your meeting with Krishna. So by the purifying process, Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada told the Beatles they should write songs of separation from Krishna. And They didn't do that as a group, but George did. And his song was very nice. Prabhupada loved it very much. My sweet Lord, I really want to be you. I really want to be with you. I really want to meet you. But it takes so long, my Lord. You see, George was expressing feelings of separation. It's like, even if you haven't been somewhere yet, let's say you've never been to Vrindavan, India. You've never been to Govardhan ever before, right? As an example. And then now, finally, you're going to Govardhan, and you're sitting there in the taxi and waiting, keep looking ahead at where is Govardhan, where is Govardhan. That's Vipralamba. Even though you haven't seen Govardhan yet, you've heard how wonderful is Govardhan. Where is Govardhan? Is it around the bend now? When can I see Govardhan? When will I see Govardhan? That is the problem. So, that hankering, that's the hanker and anticipation of meeting is also a type of Vipralamba. The hanker in anticipation of meeting. Even if you don't ever remember having, you know, met Krishna. To hanker to meet Krishna and feel separated from him can be done. That can be done. Rukmini Devi, she had never met Krishna. But she was so intensely hankering for Krishna. Come and steal me away before this Shishupal, this jackal Shishupal grabs me. You see? She wrote a very intense love letter, hand-delivered by that Brahmin. Very intense love letter for Krishna. But she had never met him. But just by hearing about Krishna, she knew, this is my beloved Lord. This is my husband. You see, just by hearing about Krishna, even without having met, just by hearing about him, that intense desire was to meet him was there. So we can also do. We can hear about Krishna's wonderful pastimes. This way we can become attractive. Yes, I must meet that Krishna. Yeah, I hear about him. He sounds so wonderful. He sounds so beautiful. That, you know, complexion like a darkish rain cloud. That flute. That famous fifth note. Fifth note on the scale. Krishna's famous for that particular note. Yeah. Yes, we can meet devotees and then feel separated from the devotees also. Narottam Das Thakur is explaining that mood. He says, Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottama Das. You see, I'm always hankering for the association of Ramachandra Chakravarti. Actually, we heard a class in Vrindavan the other day from Sri Krishna. He had some interesting stories, you know, about that relationship between Narottam and Ramachandra. That Ramachandra, he couldn't bear to be separated from Narottam. He was a married man, but he has no interest in associating with his wife. He only wanted to associate with Narottam. And Narottam told him to go home and associate with your wife. And he walked about 15 feet away, and it was just unbearable for him. He couldn't go any further. He couldn't bear to be separated from Narottam. So that's also there. You can associate with devotees. You can associate with your Guru Maharaj, you see. And then in his absence, you can feel intense separation. When will I see Guru Maharaj again? You see? When will I see him? When will I see him? When will I again sit at his lotus feet and you know, be purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. You see. So in this way, actually this is one reason why we have to have a guru who is physically present. We can meet him at least once. You see. Because then you can actually have real feelings of Vipralamba and his separation. And that guru Vipralamba is non-different from Krishna Vipralamba. You see. Krishna guru, non-different. So that's why this Ritvik idea is crazy. There's no, never having met the guru, then how you can actually have the Vipralamba in the pure sense of Vipralamba. You see. So that's why to have a take diksha from a living guru is important. Otherwise, how you'll have Vipralamba? You've never met the person, how you can feel separated in the pure sense of the term. How you ever feel this separation? So to meet the Vaishnava and to be happy and enlivened and joyful in his presence, and then to feel anguish in his separation, that actually increases the ecstasy of his sangha. The disciple associates with the spiritual master by smaranam, by remembrance. Prabhupada said that actually I have never separated from my Guru Maharaj. I'm never separated. He is always seeing me. Why? Because I'm always following his instructions. I'm meditating on his instructions and I'm following. So I'm never separated. So this is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. You take shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and whatever instruction he gives you, you take that order as your life and soul. Prabhupada said you will not find Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan, but you will find him in the order received from your spiritual master. That's where you will find Krishna. So yes, you can meet Guru, you can meet not only Guru, but all the Vaishnavas. It's like you have a wonderful family of devotees here in Bangalore. And you have a wonderful, nice association with each other. And then when you... How many of you work jobs during the week? So you can feel Vipralamba when you're in your office, away from the devotees. You see, they're at XYZ Corporation, Microsoft, or wherever you meet. You can feel Vipralamba when you're at your job. When will I be with the Vaishnavas again? Here I am with all these karmis, you know, lusty, greedy, angry karmis. When will I again be with the Vaishnavas? And that way, in separation from the Vaishnavas, your love for the Vaishnavas increases, increases, increases. So this is Vipralamba also. So, it's now to... And so now, yes?
You said that Gaurakishore Das Babaji did take initiation from Bhakti Vrindavan Thakur. Gaurakishore Das Babaji did not take initiation.
That's right. Yeah. He got it from Bhagavad Das. He got Babaji initiation from Bhagavad Das Babaji.
Yeah, so one person questioned me actually when I was coming in train, he was from some other sampradaya. And he was saying that your sampradaya is not bona fide because the chain is broken. So,
what is it?
I met somebody in train and he was questioning this. He was saying that your parampara is not complete because Gaurakishore Das Babaji did not take initiation from Bhakti Vrindavan.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we explain this?
How do we explain the disciplic succession?
Yeah, he questioned me.
The succession is, the point is that the ceremony, initiation ceremony, is not as important as following the orders and instructions. In this case, the specific succession was passed on through siksha, not through diksha. Siksha is more important than diksha, ultimately. Because diksha is a ceremony, made for 1 hour only. The real essence of the guru-disciple relationship is siksha. Just like Prabhupada said, some boys, they would shave up, become brahmacharya, and they grow their hair like kipis. He said, Prabhupada, anyone who has long hair is not my disciple. These were his initiated disciples. they grew long hair, he said, anyone who has long hair is not my disciple. So they can't say, but no, Prabhupada, I had six, you gave me diksha, so I'm your disciple. Prabhupada said, anybody who has long hair is not my disciple. So you see how siksha is more important than diksha. Siksha, diksha is a contract of agreement to follow siksha. That's all it is. That's really what it is. It's a contract. It's a siksha contract. That I will always take your siksha. I promise to always follow your siksha. That's what diksha means. You're committing to follow the siksha. So siksha is more important. Diksha is there to reinforce the following of the siksha. And now I'm making contract. I pledge before the deities, before the fire and the Vaishnavas, that I will always follow your siksha in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So Gorkhasura, he was already following the siksha of Bhaktivinoda. But it's not that we should imitate, thinking, well, I can imitate Gorkhasura, and I will just be a follower without the diksha. But you're not on the level of Gorkhasura Das Babaji. If you do that, can you sit down all day by the public lavatory and chant the holy names? You see? Peacefully absorb yourself in the holy name sitting, but where all the men are passing urine. Just sit there for hours. Can you do that? No. You may try to imitate it, but you cannot do. We cannot imitate these great personalities. Prabhupada emphasized the importance of diksha because for people on our level, absolutely required. Absolutely required. We're not Gorkhasura Das Babaji. And even he had a diksha in Bhagavad Gita. So who's in charge of the program? Now there's Pushpanjali. Huh? Now we're going on to Pushpanjali, huh? Something? What's the next step?
It appears like it may take some more time. The person who supplies the vegetables has come very late, so they have to also cook.
Oh, the feast has been cooked yet?
Yeah, we could do
one thing. Oh my God. This is aparad. Prabhupada wanted the feast has to be offered precisely at noon.
At 12.
Oh, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Okay. So can something be offered right now? Some little...
Yeah.
Something should be offered now.
Yes.
Something. Yeah.
I've been frustrated. We have to buy some more time. Any more questions?
Offenses.
Continue the offenses. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Prabhupada actually says the Guru is not the center, the scripture is the center. So we have to have all faith in the scripture. If we don't keep that faith in the scripture, then everything is finished. We can't even know who is a bona fide spiritual master unless we take the authority of scripture. Because there's so many bogus gurus now. They're everywhere. India, Prabhupada said, is a mystic factory. Every day they manufacture a new incarnation of God. So, you know, it's a horrible situation. So if you actually want to know what is what, you have to take the authority of scripture. These bogus so-called gurus, they will say, well, you know, you can't express the truth in words. Now an intelligent man would think then that obviously was not a true statement, according to its... If a so-called guru says the truth cannot be spoken in words, a fool may think, oh, Guru Maharaj is very wise. But an intelligent man will think, oh, this person According to his philosophy, what he just said cannot be true. He just said the truth cannot be spoken in words. And those are words. And he just said it. So according to his philosophy, what he just said is not true. Then why is he sitting on the Vyasasan speaking untruth? You see? So an intelligent person who has properly understood the Vedic wisdom can never be misled by these charlatans. So to be well grounded in scripture is very, very important. I have one inspiring disciple in Sydney, Australia. He wrote me, he said, Gurudev, I'm chanting, I'm doing this, but I want some personal instructions from you. Please, give me personal instructions. I'm feeling very unhappy because I've never been, you never gave me any personal instructions. Specifically, you want me to do this. So I gave him a whole list that would fill up his whole life. These are your personal instructions. And one was, you must thoroughly read all of Prabhupada's books. And then you're like, what does thoroughly mean? The real meaning of thoroughly understanding Prabhupada's books is to read them and read them and read them and read them until you have unlimited depth of understanding of every single point that Prabhupada makes in every page of his books. That's thorough study. So, as Prabhupada said, the books are the basis. Just like in our ISKCON, the official policy is the disciple has to, the GBC doesn't certify this person is a bona fide spiritual master, technically. They say, well, we have no objection if this person initiates disciples, but it's up to the disciple to read the books and understand from Prabhupada's books, is this person a bona fide spiritual master or not? The GBC doesn't rubber stamp anyone as a guru. It's up to you to read the books from the greatest spiritual master in the history of the world, is Evangrishita Prabhupada. It's up to you to read the books. You, for your own realization, you understand what is a bona fide spiritual master. And then you use your own judgment that you gain by chanting Hare Krishna and reading Prabhupada's books. Then you use your own judgment. So the scripture, the reading of the scripture is very, very important. Prabhupada said, all of my disciples have to follow, have to read all my books so they will fall down. And we think, well, that's great. I'm a grand disciple, so I don't have to worry. Just the disciples have to do that. No. Grand disciples are also disciples. And great grand disciples are also disciples. It's just different types of disciples, that's all. We're all Prabhupada's disciples. Either disciple directly, or grand disciple, or great grand disciple, or great great grand disciple, or great 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 grand disciple. For thousands of years, we will all be obliged to read all of Prabhupada's books. Everybody, not just the disciples. You know, the direct, you know, first generation disciples, the second generation disciples, third generation disciples. Everyone has to read all of Prabhupada's books. So this fourth offense is very important. Should never minimize the importance of the books. The fifth offense is just give some interpretation. The fifth offense is to to consider the glorious imagination. Now, there's so many statements in the scriptures about, you know, the benefit of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That one pure utterance of Hare Krishna can destroy more sin than you can ever commit in all of eternity. You may think, well, this is an exaggeration. I mean, the holy name couldn't be that powerful. If we think like that, then this is very offensive. You must have absolute faith in the holy name. it's described that just by touching the holy land of Vrindavan, that you can, it's as good as visiting all the holy places in the universe. So all you have to do is go to Vrindavan. And when I was in Vrindavan, every morning in Mangalarti, I would plant myself right in front of Krishna Balaram. And I was thinking, just by going to the Mangalarti of the Prabhupada Samadhi and then coming here to see Krishna Balaram, actually all of Vrindavan is covered. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Jai Vishnu Bhagavan Ki Jai. I was thinking that even not having to go all around Vrindavan, actually Prabhupada had said that all the holy places of Vrindavan are contained within the four walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. But then I had a further realization that how can I possibly live outside of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, you know, leaving Vrindavan. But then I realized within the holy name of Krishna, everything is also there. Every holy place and the potency of all the holy dhams in the entire universe is there in Hare Krishna. It's all there. Everything. The Naam and the Dham are non-different. The transcendental abode of Lord Sri Krishna is fully present in the form of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It's all there. Everything you need is in the name of Krishna. At the time of death, that holy name will be an airplane. A bike will become a Vaikuntha airplane to take you back to Krishna. So we have to have total, absolute, complete faith in the name. And then the sixth offense is to give some interpretation. That's a similar offense. This is especially for the Sanskritists who want to, you know, look at word meaning and come up with some new idea. Well, Krishna means black, and black means ignorance. And, you know, so Krishna means ignorance. Tamagun is ignorance. Krishna is tamag, ignorance. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activity. I say it mechanically every day, but when I'm breaking, slowing it down like this. Seventh offense is, sinful activity. That's right. Prabhupada says that is the greatest offense. Think, well, I feel like falling down tonight, but I'll chant some extra rounds tomorrow. That mentality you'll never go anywhere. When I sincerely try to give up sinful activities, not that, it's a little too much, I'm just going to take a break, have a little fling with Maya Devi, and then chant some extra rounds to make up for it. No. The eighth offense is to consider it as one of the auspicious wishlistic activities. In the Vedas, I need a job, so I have a special kirtan. Because I'm looking for a job, I have a special kirtan. No. We should always chant Hare Krishna for pure bhakti. And then everything else will come. Maybe Krishna doesn't want me to get a job. Maybe he wants me to come. He wants me to take sannyas. We have to always think, let me just do what Krishna wants, not what I want. If we have the mood of just doing what Krishna wants, then everything will come out perfectly. Perfectly. Krishna is much better at executing plans than we are. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person. So, some people say, well, that's great. I didn't really like to preach anyway. I felt too shy. So now I have my excuse. I'm not going to preach because that would be the ninth offense against the holy name because everybody's faithless. So that's great. I'm not going to preach. I felt too shy to go on a book distribution. So now I got my excuse. The ninth offense is to preach to the faithless. So I'm not going to preach. That's not what it means. You're not going to get out of preaching. Lord Chaitanya gave the order that we should preach. So this is an example. Don't take instructions out of context. You have to take each instruction that is given in the context of the other instructions that are given. So an intelligent person who's sincere about surrendering will think, well, on the one hand I'm told that I must preach, on the other hand I'm told not to preach to the faithless. But we also hear that everyone is faithless, so how do you balance it out? That's why guru is required, senior devotees are required, to help you understand the proper application of the scriptural injunction. There are three types of devotees: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikari, he just knows how to bow down in front of the deities, that's all. He knows how to ring a bell when he walks into the temple room, bow down in front of the deities. I remember in Houston, there was our temple there. I used to be a brahmachari in that temple. And I remember every Monday morning, without fail, like clockwork, same time, precisely, every Monday morning, there was a Sindhi businessman who had a shop in the Galleria Mall. Expensive, ritzy, high-end place for the rich people shop. So he would come in every Monday morning on clockwork, take darshan for Radha Nila Madhav, getting blessing for his week of business. He never came for anything else. He just came every Monday morning when he opened his shop for the week. So it's obvious why is he approaching Krishna. So we should not be like them. We should be approaching for pure devotional service. That's how we should approach. We're talking about the faithless. We jump back to 8, now we'll come back to 9 again. That we were talking about the Kanishta Adhikari. And in the second class, that is called Madhyam Adhikari. Madhyam Adhikari, he makes distinction. There is Krishna, there are the devotees, there are the innocent, and there are the demons. He preaches to the innocent, he avoids the demons. That's what it means, the ninth offense. You have to know where to preach and where not to preach. A preacher is very keen. He wants to deliver everyone, but he also has the intelligence to know where he should put his energy. You put your energy where there is more receptivity. You don't beat your head against the wall with people who aren't gonna, can't take it, not ready for it. But everyone can take something. You can always give them prasadam. Everyone can take prasadam. For everyone's benefit, we can have public sankirtan down the street. We can approach everyone with a book and give them the opportunity to take. So it simply means that you use discretion in your preaching so that people do not commit offense. We should preach in such a way that people do not blaspheme Krishna. To our best of our ability, we must endeavor. But that doesn't mean we stop preaching. It means you keep preaching with great enthusiasm and determination, but you try to preach in such a way that people do not become offensive as a result of your preaching. That's the meaning of the ninth offense. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments. That means by chanting, the symptom of your chanting is you will become free from all material attachments. If you're actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, you'll become naturally free, not artificially free, like the Mayavada, but naturally free in the sense that you'll become so attached to Krishna, so attached to the name of Krishna, the fame, the pastimes, the dham, the devotees of Krishna, the service of Krishna. You become so attached to everything Krishna, 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 that you don't have time for material attachments anymore. You've lost interest in them. You become so attached to Krishna that it doesn't even cross your mind anymore to have sense gratification. Not that you're like going, oh, I have to keep myself away from sense enjoyment. You're so happy in Krishna consciousness, the thought of sense enjoyment doesn't even cross your brain, or if it does, what do you do? What did he say, Jamunacharya? He said if he has some thought of sense enjoyment, now that he's giving nava nava rasa in Krishna consciousness, he said, I spit. See, artificially renounced? No. Nava, he's swimming into an unlimited, he's diving unlimitedly deeply into an ocean of Krishna rasa. Nava, nava rasa, damane yataram tumasit. He's dying deeply, deeply, deeply into that ocean of Krishna bhakti. And if some prostitute comes and says, let's have sex, he just says, not at her, but on the ground. He spits at her thought. Spits at her. And if he's like Haridas, then he says, but you sit here and I will satisfy your desire. Just wait some time and you finish my mala. And he'll make her a devotee also. He doesn't spit at the woman, he spits at the idea of sense enjoyment. That is the spitting. A Vaishnava doesn't hate the opposite sex. Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. Haridas Thakur, he made the prostitute a devotee. He gave her his hut. He gave up his bhajan kuchar and let the prostitute have his bhajan kuchar. I don't need this bhajan kuchar. You stay here, and you take over my hut, and I will find some other place to share my Krishna. And the 11th offense, the unofficial 11th offense, is to be inattentive. Okay. You have to be focused. Not this, what it's called, radar japa. You know radar japa? You know at the airport they have this radar, scans the horizon. I've seen radar that it turns, it pivots, it's sending out these radar waves and they bounce back trying to find objects. So it's called radar japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Scanning everything that's going on. You know, who's walking down the street today? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's a radar japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Not like that. And there's also jabber japa. Jabber japa. Jabber means pajapa. Hare Krishna. Do you know what so-and-so did? Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You know what so-and-so did? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just, you know, talking and then chanting japa and jabbering with our the devotees at the same time. That's called jabber japa. And there's also called dive bomber japa. You know, dive bomber, they go. In World War II, the dive bombers, the Japanese dive bombers, they would suicide. They would just dive into a ship. Suicide. Just like Al Qaeda and a suicide terrorist. The Japanese, they also did the suicide thing. They would just dive into a ship. They would go over a ship and just dive straight into it and blow it up. So that's dive bomber jump. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Falling asleep. So we have to avoid these dive bomber japa, radar japa, jabber japa. Have to learn how to, we have to train ourselves to be fixed to the holy name. See, the trouble is we're finding tamagun is more enjoyable than the holy name. Rajagun is more enjoyable than the holy name. Sattvagun is more enjoyable than the holy name. That's the problem. We have to realize, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, there is nothing but the name to be had in all the 14 worlds. Nothing but the name. We really have firm faith in that point that we will never be inattentive anymore. We will be glued to the name of Krishna 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day we'll be glued to the name. You may say, but I have to go to work. If I just chant at the job, I'll get fired immediately. How I can be glued to the name 24 hours a day? There's one term that's going around ISKCON, and I have a campaign to stamp out this term. It's called part-time devotee. You ever heard that term? Are you a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? You heard that? I'm on a campaign to put an end to that word, that term in ISKCON, a part-time devotee. So what does it imply? When I come to the temple, I'm a devotee. When I go to the job, I'm not a devotee. If you're a devotee and you go to the office, are you still a devotee when you're at the office, or you stop being a devotee? Well, maybe if you go to the office and you're away from the devotees, you go, now's my chance. You smoke cigarettes, you have a beer at lunch, then maybe there is such thing as you're not really a devotee. Well, the point is, if you're a devotee, you're a devotee 24 hours a day. Whether you're at the temple, whether you're at home, whether you're at the office, whether you're business, whether you're in the traffic jam. There are many of them here. You are a devotee. If you're a devotee, you're always a devotee. So there's no such thing as a part-time devotee and a full-time devotee. If you're a devotee, then you're a full-time devotee. And if you're not a full-time devotee, you're not a devotee. Not a devotee, that's all. If you're not always trying to be Krishna conscious, you're not a devotee. You're just making a show when you come to the temple. You're not really a devotee at all, period. But if you're really a devotee, then you're actively cultivating Krishna bhakti at every minute, 24 hours a day, whatever you're doing. You may say, well, how's that possible? I might have to worry about, pleasing my boss. I got this intense project. But what are you doing it for? Because you love it? No way. For the money, that's why you're doing it. Isn't it? So how do you spend the money? That really determines your Krishna consciousness. How do you spend the money from your job? Do you spend every paisa in a Krishna conscious way? I'm not saying you have to donate all the money to the temple. I didn't say that. That's obviously not practical when you have rent, expenses. My question was, do you spend every paisa in a purely Krishna conscious way? If you do, then you're purely doing Krishna consciousness every second at your job. Because that job is translating into money, and if you're spending every paisa in a Krishna conscious way, then that job is pure Krishna bhakti. Yeah. But if you're not, then guess what? Karma, Mishra, Bhakti. It's mixed. It's impure. And guess what? That's inattentive chanting. Actually, the same thing as inattentive chanting. You're not focused. You're not fixed. And then you won't get the taste. You'll get your paycheck, but you won't get Krishna. But if you focus on Krishna, you will get your paycheck and you'll get Krishna. So one has to learn the art of how to be attentive to Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day in all situations. Prabhupada gives a nice example. Somewhere in South India, I don't know where, but Prabhupada gave this example that there's some dancers who can. Some of you have seen, this is South India, maybe you've seen these dancers. I don't know if they're still around, but they dance with clay pots on their head. Indian village, the women, they carry the big clay pot on their head. No big deal, like they're standing around talking. huge clay pot. In fact, it's not even there. They know how to balance it so perfectly. They do it without even thinking, practically. Just like we drive a car without thinking. You just do it automatically. You know. After many years of driving, it just kind of happens automatically. They carry the pot underneath it automatically. So there's dancers who do all kinds of intricate dance steps, keeping the clay pot on their head the whole time. So your material job, that is your dancing. And your Krishna consciousness is the clay pot. So if you're very expert, you very expertly, you know, rise early in the morning. And here's some tips. For those of you who want to become, you all said you want to be 98% want to become purely Krishna conscious. Here's some tips. When you get up in the morning, take bath, put on tilak, put on devotional clothes. Dhoti, kurta, or chadar. Put on devotional clothes and tilak first thing in the morning. You see, and have some time when there's your Vrindavan time, your Krishna time. Where you chant try to chant 16 rounds in the morning. And you may have to go to bed earlier and get up earlier to do this. That means no late night television. I mean, get to bed early and get up very early. And chant 16 rounds. If there's time, 16 rounds you must do. And if there's time, you also offer the arti and sing the Gavastika prayers, and you read Bhagavatam. Every morning, these things. Gavastikam prayers for the arti, 16 rounds, and read some Bhagavatam for half an hour. That's ideal. Do those things every morning, 7 days a week. No matter, you know, all sorts of circumstances, become very regulated to do that. And then, it'll be very easy to stay absorbed in Krishna consciousness throughout the day. That's why, you think we do this as a ritual? Is this something for the brahmacharis in the temple to have mangalarti? Is this some ritual we do because the acharyas want us to do it? No, it's a science. Bhakti is a science. Do you eat because it's a ritual? You eat because you need nourishment. So you'll have energy to do things. That's why you eat. So this program of rising early, having some arti, Gribhastakam prayers, 16 rounds, Bhagavatam, and when you got that, throw a little tulsi in there, tulsi puja also, if you can squeeze that in, also can be added once you've got the other ones done. These things are very, very powerful scientific items which will connect you with Krishna. They will supercharge your spiritual batteries so much so that you will feel spiritual energy throughout the entire day. I don't care how intense your job is. If you do that morning program with great intensity, your batteries will be humming with energy the whole day. Just like, what do you do every night? You charge your mobile phone, isn't it? So you can make it through the day. There's nothing worse than having your mobile phone run out in the middle of a conversation in the late afternoon, right? You make sure to charge that mobile phone every night, right? Of course, because some of them may have big batteries maybe every other day. But the point is, you got to make sure your mobile phone has enough juice to make it until you get back to another recharge session. So, you have to charge your spiritual mobile phone. Your connection with Krishna. Krishna consciousness is your mobile phone that connects you with Krishna. So you have to make sure you got enough of a charge to make it through the day. Someone, you know, that you can connect with Krishna all day long, from the moment you get up until the moment you take rest at night. And if you're a lady staying at home, then you have to do everything for Krishna. Don't just try to enjoy that home. If you do, I guarantee you'll be a miserable person. make that home an ashram. Make it a home which is pleasing to Krishna. That every room in that house is dedicated to Krishna. Pictures of Krishna everywhere. Krishna conscious literature, Krishna conscious DVDs. Just, you know, turn your house into an ashram. And make every member of the house into a devotee. Of course, if they're non-devotees, that's not easy sometimes. At least make your own space Krishna conscious. And keep working on your family members. My wife, Vishnupriya Madhaji, when she wanted to join the family members, objected. So the brothers are very adamantly opposed. The fathers said it was okay, but the brothers were really, really adamant. And now those same brothers are initiated as ISKCON devotees. She went to visit one, and they had meat in the house at that time. He was an MD in Australia. And she was visiting Australia, and she was going to stay in the temple instead of staying with them. They said, no, you come and stay with us. She said, but you have to throw out all the meat, otherwise I'm not coming. And they did, and they never gave it, and now they're initiated disciples of Gopal Krishna. Because she was firm. Because she was firm. Now they got saved. My wife was firm with them. So in this way, you have to learn how to be firm with your family members. So that they can, that is not lording it over. That is kindness. That is love. Do you understand? That is not lording it over. That is love. That is actual love. And say, well, I don't want to disturb them. Well, I'm sorry, that's a mundane sentiment. I don't want them to think that devotees are pushy or something like that. No, you don't understand. You're not in the mood of a preacher. You haven't understood what it means to be Krishna conscious. You're thinking like that. Krishna consciousness means to save the people from going down to the animal kingdom. That is Krishna consciousness. So any other questions? Now we covered the 10 offenses. Now what other questions are there? That question opened up a big answer. What's the program now? What's Pusparti now? Okay. So like right now, we can stop now? Or just momentarily, as soon as the conch shell blows? Okay. Well, maybe I can squeeze one. Okay. Any other quick question? That's the instruction of Krishna. You're supposed to have questions. You know that? Krishna says to inquire. So if you're not asking questions, the third offense, disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Krishna is the original guru, and he's saying to ask questions. And if you don't ask questions, you're in disobedience to the order of Krishna. Nam aparad, number 3. You don't ask questions. So everybody should think of questions. Your Jayavataka Swami is famous for that. In Montreal, someone told him it's always good to ask a question. So every time Prabhupada would speak, he would always ask a question. And one day he had to go to work instead of... Devotees were working jobs to support the temple, so Prabhupada said, where is that Jayapataka? He always asks very nice questions. Prabhupada recognized. You see, so mostly you're Jayapataka followers here. That means if you're actually followers of Jayapataka Maharaj, you will ask questions. Because your Guru Maharaj, he showed that example. So if you're real Jayapataka Anugas, you will ask questions. Because that is the example set by Jayapataka Swami. Yes?
I cannot understand properly one instruction of Prabhupada. So recently I have sent reading one page one small article of Prabhupada. In that Prabhupada says, we should actually kill the Mayavadis.
Kick, yes. So you want to know how to kick them?
Kick.
Kill. You want to know how to kill them? Well, there's two ways of killing. You know, you can take a weapon, physically kill them, which that is not the meaning. You know, a gun or a knife, you can kill them, cut their throats. That is not the method. That may be the way for the followers of Muhammad, but that is not our method. Our method is kill them by philosophy, like Bhakti Siddhanta. He would challenge, he'd see a Mayavadi on the street, he would defeat him philosophically. In fact, he was so heavy, they called him Singha Guru, Lion Guru. If a Mayavadi saw him coming on the street, he'd be given the other side of the street. Because he would see a Mayavadi, he would challenge him and defeat him on the spot, philosophically. Prabhupada said that you make Digvijaya. You know that word Digvijaya? Means a pandit who can conquer in all directions. See, Prabhupada said, you go village to village, city to city, town to town, and you make Digvijaya, that there is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! That is Digvijaya. So, we face these rascals head on with a cool brain, and we defeat them. That is the meaning of killing the Mayavadi. You kill their philosophy, defeat their philosophy. That is the meaning of killing the Mayavadi. Make them into a Vaishnava by strong preaching. That is killing their Mayavadi mentality. In this age, we don't kill the demons, we kill the demoniac mentality. Lord Chaitanya was going to kill Jagai Madai, but Lord Nityananda said, my dear Lord, you kill them, you have to kill everyone. So Lord Chaitanya delivered. So in this age, killing means you kill that demoniac mentality. You kill the Mayavadi mentality, that I am God. Our philosophy is, why do you want to be God? Become greater than God. Our philosophy is to become greater than God. Yashoda, she is chastising God and running after him with a stick. Arjuna is telling God, you drive my chariot here and there. A Vaishnava, Krishna is a Jita, he cannot be conquered, but he becomes Jita or conquered by his devotee's love. You see. So our philosophy is to become greater than God. And Krishna, he noticed that his devotee is tasting more nectar than he is tasting. What is this? I am supreme enjoyer, but my devotee, Radharani, is enjoying more than me. I don't want to be defeated. I will also become my own devotee. I will become a Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, Bhakta Krishna. Krishna becomes a Bhakta. Bhakta avatar. Bhakta Krishna. He becomes Bhakta Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To taste the sweet nectar of being a devotee, which is even more nectar than being the nectar experienced by being Krishna. That's why Krishna became Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to taste the nectar of being his own devotee. So there's no reason to want to become God. Even God wanted to become his own devotee, because it's more relishable to be a devotee of God than it is to be God. So the Mayavadis are stupid. First of all, God himself wanted to be his own devotee. So that's even a higher pleasure. So the hanker to be God is a low-class desire. The hanker to be devotee of God, that is high-class desire. And the second thing is, you can't even do it. It's impossible. God is God, and devotee is devotee, and that will always remain. You see? Krishna, Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva cannot switch positions. The Jiva is always the Jiva, and Vishnu is always Vishnu. You cannot switch it. If you are Vishnu, you are Vishnu, no matter what. If you are Jiva, you are Jiva. That can never be changed. That can never be altered. Jiva must always remain Jiva, and Vishnu must always remain Vishnu. So it's impossible. So it's foolish. So in this way, you should become very, very expert in the scripture and in logic and in absorbed in pure bhakti, and you turn all these mayavadis into Vaishnava. And India is full of mayavadis. This is the land of the mayavadis. They're everywhere. Mayavadis everywhere. I went to the Delhi airport. One man proudly said, "Yes, we are all Krishna here." So you're one of those naive Hare Krishnas coming from America. Well, you know, actually we're all Krishna here in India. We're all Krishna. Mayavada philosophy. That everyone is Krishna. If everyone's Krishna, then, you know, prove it. Lift Govardhan, your little finger, for 7 days. You think you're Krishna? Mr. Mayavadi? You think you're Krishna? Prove it. Lift Govardhan for 7 days on your little finger. It's lighter now than it was, but it's sunk. So it's easier now than it was 5,000 years ago. But you even lift the present day Govardhan on your little finger. We'll take to you, Krishna. You just do that. Challenge them. You say you're God, alright, you go to Vrindavan, you lift Govardhan. Then I will bow down and accept you as Bhagavan. But they cannot do
it. We are after the arati.
Okay.
Now we have two plates of arati. One will be arati performed to the deities after Rajbhog. Every day we do that. The other is arati plate, which we perform arati to God Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So, would you like to, you know, like...
Depends on how loud the open. That's my problem.